This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
We'll get back to your calls reacting to Brad Stevens and his comments regarding the Celtics blowing the first two games of the series against the Knicks and then blowing the entire series on Friday night to go off into the great unknown of the NBA offseason. But it's 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means one thing. It's Dan Ball's favorite segment because he gets to take over for the three-point stance.
319!
318!
318!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three! Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
You know my actual favorite segment?
Every segment.
It's the Quizwisters.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
obviously
loves that.
I'm still stunned.
I've been stammering not just since the Celtics got waxed on Friday night, but when I blew a 5-2 lead in last week's. I don't know if I'll ever
upsets
recover.
Galore. 960. Thursday was an upset. Yep.
Now, I will say that the three-point stance is fighting for second place, and it is time for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. It is brought to you, as it always is, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. You call all sevens, and these sevens will actually win you a game every now and again. 617-777-7777.
Cheap shot.
Nah, it's worth
it. Seven showed up. It was all the other numbers that didn't.
Well, wasn't lucky,
wow.
I can tell you that much.
Wow. Was that necessary? Do you feel better now that you said that?
A little bit.
All right. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, our hosts and myself will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story, after which we will open up for discussion. Today, as it is Monday, it is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, then myself, Dan Ball. Andy, you will lead off. Are you ready?
Indeed. Ready.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds begin right now.
Forged in Foxborough, episode 1 is out. It is an in-house production from the Patriots. You will realize that throughout, and that's okay. If you're a big-time Patriots fan and have an hour plus of time to put away on YouTube, go watch it. I had one significant takeaway from it relating to actual football and the future of the franchise, and it's a simple one. I've listened to Tom Curran on our airwaves with Jones and Keefe and on our show kind of belittle Elliott Wolf, take cheap shots at him, question his power. I believe at the draft week, he said the GM needed to stay out of the way so they could draft properly. Elliott Wolf is going nowhere. Elliott Wolf has a great working relationship with Mike Vrabel. Elliott Wolf is a significant player in the personnel department. And if the draft is anywhere near as good as all the media critics say, he's only going to be emboldened. Elliott Wolf was answering phone calls. Elliott Wolf was making trades and making picks. He was giving advice to Mike Vrabel. Elliott Wolf is going to be a big part of this team moving forward.
Dang.
It is what it is. Tom Curran, sorry. You don't seem to like him, but he's staying.
I mean, it's not. Tom was kind of the mouthpiece of it, but it wasn't an overly hot take. We'll get into this more, but it wasn't a hot take to say that Elliott Wolf kind of was the piece that didn't seem to fit direction.
He fits.
He fits better than
he
thought.
Fits.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unless the players stink, then he won't fit no more.
All right. Well. All right.
There you go. Lock and change in 18 weeks. They're what, Andy? 10 wins? 11? 13?
I mean, they're just like candy. 14. Might be up to 15 now that people have had a weekend to sleep on it and they need a little optimism post-Celtics. They might go 17-0.
That's fair. I mean, sweep of the Bills
that's
is
you and
easy.
Portnoy together, finally.
Yeah. Nope. I'm funny.
Oh, there's a war you want to wage. You want to redo your 3-point stance and do a minute on that?
That'll go well. looking for some attention on the show. Anyone else you want to just lash out at?
No, I'm good.
That's at Jumbo Heart. And wait a while. We got 3 more hours left. In the meantime, Fitzy, you will present your 3-point stance today. Are you ready?
I have a job, and I'm here to do it, friend.
Well, your job will take 60 seconds, hopefully, and it starts right now.
All right, Stanley, if you would.
This game doesn't care what car you drove into this in lot with this morning. When you go out there in between the lines, it doesn't care what car you drove in or how big your house is or any of that other. All that matters is that you can line up and do your job.
That was a snippet from Mike Vrabel speaking in the opening of Forged in Foxborough. Oh, don't worry. If you happen to miss that little snippet, there's plenty more, as the first 21 minutes of an hour and 15 minute long supersized edition, the debut of Forged in Foxborough, focus on the new HC of the NEP, who was called in, heralded, if you will, a rescue operation to come in and turn around the franchise that he won three Super Bowls with years ago after the disastrous year of Gerard Mayo. And I am just here to say, from that soundbite right there to him getting his hands on a player at the podium as he speaks to the players just a few weeks ago, to wearing a penny out in the field, to the many media speeches that he does, the words Robert Kraft, Josh McDaniels, and others have to offer about him. The New England Patriots and everyone associated with Mike Vrabel love them some Mike Vrabel. You want to talk about someone who is here to stay, Andy Hart. You talk about Elliot Wolf being a fixture in Foxborough for the years to come. Save actually finding a way to do worse than Gerard Mayo last year or Bill Belichick the year before. Mike Vrabel is here to stay for a long time because the Pats love Mike Vrabel.
Speaking of which, Dan Ball, he brings up Gerard Mayo. Remind me, we need to reference the North Star comment made by Brad Stevens. No. Don't start stealing slogans and paintings, murals from Gerard Mayo. That's you, we think you're the genius in town. Don't go down that road.
I've put it in the put a pin in it, Dan, yes, section of our rundown, right under Art in the Uber and Tacos.
Oh, yeah.
All of which need to be addressed at some point. But we will do that on a date to be determined. So right now you guys are in lockstep. We'll get into that because both Elliot Wolf and Mike Vrabel are going nowhere anytime soon. I will pivot for my three-point stance, Stiz, and begin my clock now because I am watching one of the big screens here in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios. I'm watching a guy that could be Christian Campbell taking ground balls at first base,
that
potentially.
Ant?
Yeah,
a little ant.
I'm just gonna go with it could be him. He took ground balls at first base all 3 days during the weekend. Mm-hmm. So if Campbell's making the move, it clears the way for Marcelo Meyer. But my 3-point stance today, everybody's penciling in or writing in pen Marcelo Meyer at second base. He's played a couple games in AAA at second base. I'm not on board with that. Right now, Trevor Story is doing nothing to earn the everyday shortstop job with the Boston Red Sox. He's middle of the league right now in terms of arm strength, but he's at the bottom of the league in terms of his range. He is costing the Red Sox runs with his range, side to side, numerically speaking, as a shortstop of the Red Sox. And that's just defensive right now. 164 average and a 425 OPS so far this month. He ranks third worst in terms of average, third worst in OBP, fourth worst in terms of slugging among all shortstops in baseball. Right now, you need to try to salvage what is left of Trevor Story, assuming that he opts in with this contract. If Marcelo Meyer is coming up to this team and you believe he's a part of this future, don't just shoehorn him at second base like you did with Xander Bogaerts at third. Make him the everyday starting shortstop of the Boston Red Sox and stop trotting out Trevor Story every single game. That is my stance.
Love it. Let's start there.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So what's the more important position? Shortstop.
Yes.
What's the more important player? Marcelo Meyer or Trevor Story?
Meyer by a long shot.
Okay. Yeah. So therefore, he's the priority. Therefore, you put him at shortstop because you think he's the future of that position for the next 10, 12, 15 years if you nailed the hell out of that pick.
Yeah.
That would be my first point. My second point would be we can't move Rafi Devers to first because he's hitting really well, correct? That's the argument some have made. Just let him hit. He's hitting. Just let him hit. He gets to veto.
That's kind of our comfort blanket at this point. Now we're accepting that.
So he gets to veto a move to first because he's raking. Well, Trevor Story couldn't hit the broadside of a barn right now. So he doesn't have any veto. So that should be reason to move him. Maybe it'll inject a little life in his bat to inject a little life in him at second base. So twofold, I could not agree with you more. As this whole Rafi Devers cause domino effect situation plays itself out with Campbell at first, I guess, down the road, Marcelo Meyer should absolutely be at shortstop. Don't screw around with him. Trevor Story, you're not here for a long time. You're here for a good time or whatever that country song is. So you go to second base, Meyer. Get your feet wet and plant them at shortstop.
Fitzy?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've been the one begging. I know many of us have, but I've been especially loud and proud about asking that Marcelo Meyer be brought up as quickly as possible. We know that the plan, as Lou Maloney told us, is that once Meyer or Anthony or both come up, they're not coming up as a short-term fix or an IL fill-in. They're going to be here to stay. I can't see what would prevent the organization from wanting to start the future now when this team so desperately needs a spark, when it needs some pop in the lineup? And now, as you highlight all of those defensive metrics where Trevor Story is actually hurting the team, not just at the plate, but also in the field. I mean, you're losing games 10-4 against teams that you would hope to match up against in that World Series, which almost seems laughably distant now at the moment. You're giving up runs left and right. You're bad in defense. You strike out too much. You blow saves. Marcelo Meyer can't fix all of that at once, but he can fix two things, which is the offense and the defense. And I just can't see why you wouldn't call him up now. I think I and many would absolutely applaud that move for hours, Dan.
I'm sick of guys getting consistent at bats for no other reason than you seem to like the character.
Or you already paid him a lot of money.
Right, right. You've already shown the willingness to spend money on Alex Bregman. You've shown the willingness to spend money on Garrett Crochet. I know that's additions versus subtractions, but your season is slipping away quickly. And I saw the headline floating around today, the American League is getting better, the Red Sox are not. So either you call up your kids and they help you compete for a playoff spot, as you should be competing for right now, or worst case scenario, you're still going to suck, but at least fans have something to watch and you're developing them in the big leagues, as you seem to be doing with Christian Campbell. So shortstop is the spot for me. If Marcelo Meyer was going to be your second baseman, Christian Campbell wouldn't have started the season as your second baseman. And if he was going to be at third, then why sign Alex Bregman? You wanted him to be your shortstop. Just get it out of the way already.
If these guys are wired to play in Boston, if they're not Mac Jones, who would be my example of somebody not wired and prepared to play in Foxborough for the Patriots in with Bill Belichick and everything.
As Teddy would say, soft as poo.
He was Crawford when they signed him to a bazillion-dollar deal, and he got here and he was like, oh, this place sucks. Like,
he was going to. Mac Jones was going to crack at some point. You just found out sooner rather than later. I would do the same thing with Marcelo Meyer because you're right, Dan. Short term, he's either giving you a boost, some energy, even a distraction from other stuff that's going wrong around him. Because I don't think it's really fair what Fitzy said to expect him to fix the defense and the offense.
No.
Marcelo,
he's not
going to
fix it all, but he's going to add a spark.
And he's not going to make either worse. There's no way.
I can't guarantee that.
You really can't.
I can't guarantee. I mean, he's never played in the major leagues. It's possible he looks like freaking Devers in the first three games of the season and goes 0-16 with 15 strikeouts. I mean, we don't know. Do I think it's likely?
Yeah.
But he's a total unknown. But you're right. He either injects life or spark or gets his feet wet and starts the process building towards next year for himself and for the entirety of the team. Now, I know that's a road not a lot of fans want to acknowledge, because we're going to get into this later, how overrated we were in our assessments of the Boston Red Sox.
Because
we're all guilty. We're all guilty. This is the opposite of a Ted Johnson victory lap. This is a loser lap for all of us, because the Red Sox are losing games. They're losing ground in the standings. They're five games back now.
Right.
They're getting close to they'd be in like fourth or fifth place in pretty much every division in baseball.
And they had a series on the line yesterday, Andy, and they were, I ended up staying after doing the pregame yesterday, but they were non-competitive yesterday. Other than one swing from Rafael Devers, that was a non-competitive game with a series on the line in front of your home fans yesterday. That's just not good enough.
And, you know, a young player with talent, excitement, that can bring a little something to the ballpark. We are monitoring Lansdowne Street because early on today here at Fenway, we've noted a lot of Mets jerseys. Mets.
I was just going to ask.
There's a lot of Mets in the air. Up right here, I got a nice Ted Johnson-esque Hawaiian Mets shirt on. They're everywhere. There's Mets fans everywhere. So you may be on the verge of losing your city.
Yep.
Now, I don't know where they're going because they can't jump ship to the Bruins or to the Celtics. So I guess they're jumping ship to OTAs down in Foxborough, which is very exciting. Very exciting to watch shorts in May and have that be the best thing in your sports calendar. But I do think you're on the verge of interest starting to be questioned. And maybe it's just simply, you know what? It's summer. It's getting nice. We always talk about this, Fitzy. Maybe it's time to just go sit by the fire pit and have a beer and go kayaking and go to the beach and go with your kids and go for a walk and do whatever you like to do when the weather gets nicer, because the Boston Red Sox are not as good as we expected. And you have an option to try to make them better. You have young players. And that's, it seems so simple.
You don't have to give anything up, Andy. You don't have to, you don't have to trade for somebody. You don't have to part ways with any minor league or major league talent. You have two players I would say, dare say, 24 out of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball would move heaven and earth to probably put in their starting lineup right now. But you've got a talent logjam. Ah, you got, well, when Trevor Story's hot, well, I can't move Willie Abreu or Rafael. The excuse making for why you can't find a way to squeeze, wedge, or fit these guys into your lineup more often than not needs to end soon, because what else is going to end? Your season. Five games back of the Yankees before Memorial Day. Keep this pace of get swept, lose two out of three, maybe win two out of three, then lose two out of three up. You'll be out of it by Flag Day.
The can't move list on the Red Sox right now is a really short list. It's Bregman.
Yep.
He's locked down third. Bregman's your third baseman. It's, I don't even want to put Devers on the list, but he's just crushing the baseball, hitting at DH.
It's more of like a nobody would take and list, if that makes sense.
Navarez, right?
I guess.
Catcher? Like, that's your
somebody
list.
Has to catch.
Everyone else is...
Duran?
No.
Not anymore.
He's fine.
Yeah.
He's not as good as he was last year. In fact, I have to read all these stories like Lou was selling us on Friday that, did you go back and look at last year? Through 58 games, he kind of sucked, and then he had a historic season. So now we're banking on he crosses some mythical third of the way through the season line and gets hot. So no, he's not on the can't be moved list.
Okay.
In fact, some people might want to move him to center as Rafaela, Anthony, other pieces get moved around.
Yeah.
So it's a very short list of people that feel like they have any sway or say right now. So you're damn right, Fitzy. Bring up Anthony. Bring up Meyer. Go with a youth movement. What do you got to lose? Because it's not baseball games, because you're doing a fine job of losing those right now on your own with the roster that you thought. And I will be interested to see Alex Cora when we talk to him on Wednesday. How long does he keep selling the, we're a good baseball team, we're a good baseball team, we're a good baseball team? Because he knows we have eyes and television sets, right? And we watch the product, and they're not a good baseball team right now.
We've got radio too, yeah.
Yep, radio, no, but even then he could pretend that, like, you know, we're not doing a great job broadcasting. We're not painting the picture. No. They're painting the picture of a team that's not very good. I listen to Will Fleming all the time, and the tone of his voice is tremendous.
Yeah.
He is so angry and disappointed in this baseball team that it is tremendous radio, and then I watch games, and I get to see with my own eyes why Will Fleming is so disappointed, because the baseball team is not very good. So if Marcelo Meyer can change that in some form or fashion, entertain me. Fitzy, you know it.
Yep.
Let's start with entertainment before
the
we ask him to win.
The old heart principle. Entertain me.
Entertain me at shortstop, entertain me at the plate. Maybe 3 days later, I'm looking for you to win for me at shortstop and win at the plate. But take a step forward, because when was the last time it felt like this team took a 5 of 6 they've lost? 5 of 6.
Yeah.
So and the one that you won was a walk-off.
Right.
So you kind of just rode the perfect timing.
It's pretty
of
nip
your
and
guy.
Tuck to begin with, yeah.
Right. The only, you know, maybe in the future you could have won that game every time because you'd have the golden at bat and say, Devers is crushing it. Let's put Devers at the plate to win this ball game. But otherwise, you got fortunate that Devers came to the plate in a situation where you needed it.
Yeah, you were down 6-2. You've lost that game multiple times over in the last few weeks.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have a lot going for you right now. Crochet, I'll put there. Crochet has been on the whole good. Wasn't good enough to win a battle with Sale, but...
Seven innings the last couple times outs, one or
good.
Two runs, I'll take that.
But I'd like wins. Wins are good.
I don't believe you currently have the best 26 players in your organization on your roster, and you're not deep enough to do that just for the sake of development or good guys, character guys in the roster. Got to win. You need the best players on your roster. I don't think they have it.
Yeah, or we Story fought so hard to come back, and his last couple seasons were injury marred, and he did everything the right way to rehab to get back. Okay, and through 50 games, he's not great, and he's kind of holding the team back. So,
go to second.
You can't call this kid up. Oh God.
And I'm not buying it. Am I going to get columns where you can really get hurt at second base because you're turning a double play?
Please.
I don't know.
That's
what they told me about Devers. He could really get hurt if he tries to play first base. Apparently, you don't care if Christian Campbell gets hurt. It's funny. I thought you signed him to an 8-year deal and would care if he got hurt moving forward. I thought he was also a part of your future. But you can put him over there, which is like throwing him out in a freaking Frogger game and getting run over traffic.
Yeah, it's not Crossy Road, for God's sakes. I mean, the way they talk, basically, I take that to be when they talk about, I can really get hurt at first base. That translates into Rafi might not get out of his own way, and he falls asleep at the wheel sometimes, which Cora even alluded to in a recent interview with us.
And I also saw a clip making the rounds on socials of Campbell taking ground balls at first, and his foot was in the center of the base. It is a torn Achilles waiting to happen. It is somebody going to just spike the hell out of him, and we're already dealing with torn Achilles around here. So Don't tell me it's that hard. He'll learn. I guarantee you by the time I see Campbell in a game, his foot will be where it's supposed to be. He's an athlete. They're all professional athletes. They make a lot of money to do these things.
Yeah, this Monday took a turn, didn't it?
It feels a little negative. What the hell happened?
It feels murky.
I mean, every team that could be playing right now either is not or is playing poorly. So,
but Brad Marchand's still playing, and he used to be a Bruin, and because he's still playing, you get a first-round pick when I turn 65 and start collecting Social Security in a few years. So
that's
we got that going for us.
That's hilarious. You think there's going to be any Social Security left by the time you start collecting.
That's true. I was trying to be optimistic. So that's going to do it for three-point stances on this Monday afternoon. Fitzy and I brought up Forged in Foxborough. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Then when you wake up, when you fall asleep midway through, restart it, watch the rest of it. And then, make sure your laptop is charged. It's a propaganda piece. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we got to get back to the Celtics. It was the end of a season, but is it the end of an era for Brad Stevens Celtics? We'll get to your phone calls. We see you lining up, 617-779-7937. Celtics at a crossroads, talking about it next.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox fell in the rubber game of their series against the Atlanta Braves yesterday at Fenway Park. The final was 10-4, with the four runs coming on Rafael Devers' sixth career Grand Slam and first here at Fenway Park. Boston's 10-game, 10-day homestand continues tonight when they welcome the New York Mets beginning this evening. It's Hunter Dobbins against Kodai Senga on the mound. Here's your lineup. It's Jaron Duran leading off in left, and Rafael Devers your DH. Alex Bregman at third. Willier Abreu out in right. Trevor Story at short. Nick Sogard is today's first baseman, with David Hamilton again in for Christian Campbell at second base. Carlos Narvaez is catching, and Seydon Rafaela is in center field batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 5:45 p.m. today, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco will have the call of the game. Reports are stating that Celtics star Jaylen Brown finished the season with a partially torn right meniscus that was confirmed by Brad Stevens this afternoon. He will be evaluated this week to determine if surgery is needed. The Celtics were eliminated by the Knicks in the East semifinals on Friday night. From last night, the Thunder beat the Nuggets in a Game 7 to advance to the West Finals. They host the Timberwolves for a Game 1 on Tuesday. The Knicks then host the Pacers for a Game 1 of the East Finals on Wednesday. In hockey, the Panthers eliminated the Maple Leafs in six games last night by advancing past Round 2. Florida is all but guaranteed to send a 2027 first-round pick to the Bruins to complete the Brad Marchand trade. Marchand is also the first player in NHL history to win five winner-take-all games against the same franchise. It's the Panthers at the Hurricanes for a Game 1 of the East Final on Tuesday, and the Oilers at the Stars for a Game 1 of the West Final on Wednesday. Today is Day 1 of voluntary organized team activities for the Patriots. New England is scheduled for three OTA sessions this week. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And Scottie Scheffler is the winner of the 107th PGA Championship. He finished at 11 under par for his third career major championship. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
But I think that what's at stake for the Celtics right now is, simply put, their future. Because what we've seen from them is no more. Because Jayson Tatum's not going to be there. By the time he comes back ready to go, I don't think the team as presently constructed will remain intact.
This is how you do it. Brad Stevens did not tell us how he's going to do it when he spoke to the media about an hour ago now. After the Celtics lose to the Knicks, bow out of the postseason, become the sixth straight NBA defending champion to fail to get out of the second round of the playoffs. Terp had it first. He warned us of this months ago. Terp was right, Justin Turpin.
Yeah, I know. Like, he told us about it, but the crazy thing was, Andy, he was the first one to say, like, no defending champion has made it out of the second round 6 years. This could be seven, but Celtics in four. You know what I mean? Like, everyone kept saying, like, oh, here's this crazy stat. No way the Celtics fall victim to it. And they did, and it didn't even go seven. Like,
well, and I believe with that, I believe in that logic, because I'm always one to push back against those streaks or any of those things that aren't really connected. Like, there's no direct connection from one defending NBA champion to another. You know, there's no, they don't have the same coach. They don't have the same star players. They don't have the same schedule. So it's a series of unconnected dots that you're turning into a line. So I'm fine with a guy like Turpin saying, I acknowledge the stat and I acknowledge the history, but the Celtics are really good and they should win. And as Brad Stevens said, if they don't blow the first two games in the series, we're not having this conversation. They're playing the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're favored to beat the Pacers, and they're going to the NBA Finals where they lose to OKC. But that's a different conversation, right? Like, those two games changed everything. Their inability to maintain a lead, their inability to adjust their situational basketball is why we're having this conversation. That is why we're talking about the future. And Stephen A. Smith, no kidding. You don't think when Tatum comes back in 2 years, it's going to be the same basketball team? Obviously, Al Horford is not under contract and he's 107. Kristaps Porzingis won't be under contract then and has a long recovery from some virus where he's going to go play Euroball.
The lungs of a 107-year-old.
Exactly.
Right.
So, like,
I mean, there's a reason behind anybody, like almost everybody. Drew Holiday, even though he signed that
mallet finger.
Yeah.
Hammy.
Pick it, like, dealer's choice. Cornette, free agent, could go somewhere else and catch it. Who knows? Like, this team could look similar, very similar, kind of similar, or potentially drastically different than they looked just a week ago. And again, it bears repeating. Yes, Porzingis wasn't really himself. Yes, Drew Holiday was getting old. But the Celtics had 20-point leads that they were not able to not only not hold, but not throttle up on. Why couldn't they win those games by 25, 27 like they did game five?
They couldn't shoot.
They squandered them. They whizzed them away. They got in their own head. Andy, it's stunning to say this, but with a team that was supposed to perform with the heart of a champion, they turned out to be mentally weak when it counted most.
And who do you blame for that? Because that's what we do. We're in Boston, and we don't even have to break down the game because you should have done that by yourself at home on Saturday and Sunday. It's Monday. We're 2+ days later. Brad Stevens says he hasn't slept at all, which I don't know. Do you really think he hasn't slept?
He hasn't slept. He hasn't slept well.
Okay. Well, I don't sleep well either. My back hurts. I need a new mattress or something. I don't know. But I'm not going to have any pity for Brad Stevens. But who do we blame? So you just said it. That there has to be some blame.
We're great at blaming our frustrations on others.
Taxes?
So I'm gonna say, good point.
Bad roads?
I blame Harvard. I'm gonna blame the coach. Ooh. Actually, it has to start with the players.
You pulled a 180 in less than a nanos. I'm gonna blame the coach. Actually, it starts with the players. Which is it? I liked answer better than your second. I liked your first answer better.
Want to jump on the coach's back, don't you?
Yeah. Well. And put him in a jiu-jitsu chokehold and then get my ass whooped when he has a counter for it.
Yeah, when he reverses it on you,
I'm with Brad Stevens. You blew the first two games. And a part of blowing the first two games, I said it live. This is not second-guessing because you lost the series, even though I still thought you had a chance to win the series. I was dumb. I was little gullible Andy, as they call me in the Twitch chat, that I thought they were still going to win. But you blew those games, and you blew those games because you didn't adjust. Situational basketball is just like situational football, but just a different sport. When the situation changes, you need to adjust what you do in the situation. They didn't. They lose. And then I'll mix in the timeout, which was horrific situational basketball from a coach. So yes, the coach gets the credit when they win as doing the great job, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You deserve the biggest part of the blame, in my opinion. The shooting, okay. It's part of your job to see that your team can't shoot. That they are shooting 25%. I don't know. Here's an idea. Change how you play basketball a little bit. Get them closer. Get some layups. I hear Brian Scalabrine all the time say, a shot going in makes other shots fall. So find ways to get the ball to go through that little orange rim thing to see if it can snowball for the positive. It snowballed for the negative, and the guy who couldn't stop the snowball was the head coach.
Let's go back to what Scal had to say as well. We shared it in the 2 o'clock hour, and you may have heard it. On the Greg Hill show, you could have heard it on the midday show as well. When Scal said the Celtics, Mr. Super Homer Apologist Celtics, number one super fan, says the Celtics kind of got what they deserve because they may have cheated basketball. What do you think that means? Ultimately, was that, okay, now that I don't have to defend the way they went about their business this year, I'm going to say I don't like just trying to win games by raining threes and not really playing true basketball?
Well, I do think there's been an air of Scal because he was a staunch defender of the way they played for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an air lately of him getting away from that and sort of acknowledging the issues that some of us have been acknowledging all along. Some of us acknowledged it while they were winning. We didn't wait for them to lose to then change our opinions. But yes, I think he is acknowledging the style is maybe problematic at times and not having a counterpunch and some of the things we've been talking about, because those came up and beat them in this series. That was, and now the way he phrased it though, to me, didn't that almost seem effort based or something? I don't know. When you say like you disrespect the game, that's not just,
and you cheated the game.
Yeah, like
is
yeah.
how he put it. That's that. The game, that yeah. implies cutting corners in how you're playing. And that was a, I don't know about you that guys. That was a takeaway for me. Was every 50-50 ball, every 50-50 opportunity that you had, more or less in this series, you did get out hustled.
Well, because I think,
save for one game for Luke Kornet where he did everything, there were
Jaylen Brown. Don't forget Jaylen Brown diving into the bench to save a ball.
Yeah, okay, I'll give that to him. He had he had a good series. I'm not going after you for
sure.
I know you love your guy. You got out hustled by a team that is coached to hustle at every spot by
Tom
Thibodeau.
Are you sure that? Okay. Yeah,
no, the
they
Celtics are not. No, the Celtics,
you know,
are
why?
Coached to outshoot their problems, not out-hustle their problems.
And that's why. Because I think their viewpoint is, A, we're so good, every possession doesn't matter. It's not live or die by every possession, where I do think Knicks teams and teams that have had their scuffles believe this could be the possession that changes this game. This could be the possession that matters. And I also think they believe, oh, yeah, we're like three threes away from pulling away. Like, yeah, they could get that two-point layup. Isn't that cute? They hustled and got a layup, 2 points. Who plays for 2 points anymore? That's so 1984. We'll just hit three threes, and now we're up seven because
right.
it's a 9-2 run. And I do – there were rumblings that I had heard that they were a cocky basketball team.
I was just going to ask. That was my follow-up.
Yep.
Is there any chance that there was either – some entitlement or some yep. arrogance in the room that could have been their undoing as well?
And I get it. You know, it's one thing for Mike Vrabel to come in and say, we're going to remove entitlement from the building. You're like, wait, there's entitlement? They've won a total of 8 games the last 2 years. And one of those they won by accident. They shouldn't have won. So why is there entitlement there? This team, at least they've been in the finals. They've won the championship. They've ridden a duck boat. They've hung a banner there. All NBA for 4 years in a row. Like some of the, like I can see it's natural that you start to read your press clippings and believe you're the greatest player in the league. If you're Tatum, and some of the greatest teams in the league, if you're the Celtics, but isn't that the coach's job to figure out a way to deal with that, to rein them in, to, you know, Ted and
that's what I asked. That's what I asked Andy. I just got like, when is the coach supposed to step in? When is the coach supposed to, get him
but
back
who you
on
blaming?
Spot.
You said you blame the coach, and then you said you blame the players. Who you blaming?
No, I asked this like after game one and after game two, and no one had an answer. No one had an answer. Joe Mazzulla, I don't mean to go full office space, but Joe Mazzulla, what would you say you do around here?
Well, he tells him to shoot threes, and he says, don't worry, if you miss, the next one will go in. He's sort of like a sports psychologist. Envision the ball going through the net. Keep shooting threes. If you miss one, shoot two. And that is really
the ball.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is a good question, and stick around. 5 o'clock, Mego will join us to break down everything that went wrong with the Celtics and everything that Brad Stevens said. I want to get a feel from Mego, because she is more boots on the ground, day-to-day operations. Who are the assistant coaches that do what on the Boston Celtics in terms of defensive specialists, guy who draws up inbound plays, things of that nature? Because those were all issues for this team, too. So it's not just Joe Mazzulla. I don't think his staff had a great series against New York. And for a guy who preaches one word, I don't know if you guys heard it because I couldn't stop hearing it from him. Margins, 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 margins. Didn't seem like they won the margins. Didn't seem like they were fixated on winning the margins. Seemed like they were fixated on shooting as many threes as they always do and assuming at some point those threes will go in and that's how we'll win. I didn't see margin seeking out there. Let's go to the phone call, 617-779-7937. Shoot us a text if you want. Aiden in Portsmouth. What are your thoughts on the Celtics after that embarrassing end to the season?
Well, the tough end of the season, that's for sure. I'm calling because it was mentioned earlier about Porzingis and him not having much value. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the league that are going to be interested in him. So that, in terms, creates value. But I think the one place where the most value is going to be is with the Lakers. As crazy as it sounds, but if you can get under the apron by trading Porzingis and Drew Holiday, an aging Drew Holiday and Porzingis, those are two pretty big salaries, and you can get somebody like Austin Reeves, Dalton Connect, a first-round pick, and open up some cap space, get a big man, then what you're doing, you're just adding a lot. One, Dalton Connect has potential. I'm not sure what he is yet, but Austin Reeves is a good player. You put him around Brown, and they have Shireman coming, Peyton.
All right, thanks for the call, Aiden. We were getting a little in the weeds.
Let's not
there.
Do the whole offseason in one call.
Yeah, but Fitzy, Porzingis and Drew Holiday to the Lakers. I'm all for it. That would unload, I believe, $70-something million. I think they're both making mid-30s in terms of their contracts right now. I'm going to just go ahead and disagree that there's going to be teams lining up for Porzingis after watching him be unavailable for the bulk of the last 2 years.
He's also an expiring contract, though, Andy.
The experts tell me those aren't as valuable as they once were, and all these new styles in the CBA. We'll continue to take your calls on the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, his comments. Who do you blame for that debacle of a loss? Fitzy in mere seconds said it was Joe Mazzulla and the players. He's probably right. It's probably both, but I need you to pick a side. Do you blame the players more, Mazzulla more? 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
No, I mean, if you're going to be in the arena and you're going to be, first of all, if you're going to be coaching for a long time, you know, you're going to have a lot more probably heartbreaks than you are joyful moments. I think if you look at the perspective, and that's just how it goes. And you step into the arena and you go after something, that's how it goes. So it has nothing about due to the weight of it or anything. It's just, you know, most coaches, the ratio of heartbreak to success at the end of the year, you probably have more of those.
Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla talking about the finality of the loss to the Knicks on Friday night. Which most coaches, I mean, the reality is if you're a good coach, you lose the last game of the season, Fitzy, because you're good enough to get in the playoffs, but the NBA is showing us 7 straight years, different NBA champions, so no coach has been like, yeah, like Belichick, yeah, I'm going to keep winning it more often than not to end seasons, go on a 3 out of 4 type run here. So yes, you end with a loss, but just because you end with a loss doesn't mean you end defeated, feeling like death. As Jaylen Brown said, you know, you could just get out.
That was an extreme.
That was very extreme. But he also said that he believes in life after death. So there was a little bit of a redemption story coming, rising from the ashes. He is the Phoenix and all that crap moving forward. But, you know, it'd be one thing if we were talking here, wow, this series went 7 games and Jalen Brunson averaged 47 points per game and just flat out beat you. That's one of the greatest series I've ever seen. And the Knicks were just a little better. I'm not sure if we still think the Knicks are even better. Do we agree the Knicks are the better basket? They won the series, so I have to
give them that.
Cap. Yeah, but yeah. Are they the better basketball team? I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed
Celtics
with the Knicks.
Celtics beat them 4 times this season. Now, even if the last game was close just because they started Tatum and then kind of the bench, doesn't mean that the Knicks are a better team. They beat them. They were 4-0 against them this season. So, I see, this makes me think that underestimating the Knicks was part of the calculus.
Yeah, like I think they underestimated everybody. And I agree with you. I think they really
Orlando,
underestimated the Knicks. Yep.
Great point made by Reverend Arcand during his Sunday Mass. The Orlando series really took a lot of the vim and vigor out of the Celtics. Like, Orlando gassed them in a lot of ways. Like,
it took the good and didn't bring... I mean, it took the bad and didn't take the good, I guess I would say. Remember when Scal told us, nah, there's no carryover from series? Because we were hoping that the feisty Celtics, the dogfight Celtics, would carry over to the Knicks series. It did not.
Yeah, 36 points a night, Tatum, no. Yep. Instead, it was like, man, you guys have no idea. My wrist hurts. I'm tired. I got to carry around this Exogen bone healer all the time. Man.
And I think some of that tied into the regular season, where they destroyed them. They blowed them out a couple times during the regular season. And I think they took the Knicks lightly. I think they took this run lightly. I think they probably, like so many of us, had circled the Cavs and said, see you in the Eastern Conference Finals. We're like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. The season starts in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they got a little out ahead of their skis. They had a little bit of a injury here or there. They were banged up. They were tired. They had post-virus illness, which, again, still sounds like long COVID to me, but no one calls it that. even though Brad Stevens just alluded to it being just like that, what we've learned about in the last 3 or 4 years as a society, but nope, has nothing to do with COVID. Anyway, Dan Ball, take me off.
Well, to tie that back to the question that you asked last segment, and I know we're getting to some calls about that as well, that's a player thing for me.
Yeah.
That's a top of the food chain, mm-hmm. top of the payroll player issue for me.
Tatum?
If they're, yeah, and Jaylen Brown. I know that he performed.
Who's Batman?
Tatum.
Okay. Just go ahead, proceed.
But is Batman as strong without Robin? And they're both paid to be a Batman. Salary-wise and the kind of commitment that you've put to both players, they're both paid to be various versions of Batman.
There's only one Batman. We know that. It's Tatum.
Okay, so if you want to pin it more on Tatum than Brown, but I don't think either one skates in the fact that if you allowed the rest of your roster to not take the Knicks seriously or to skate through or to not take it upon yourself to make the play to get you out of the rut, to stop the comeback of the Knicks, whatever went wrong in that series, that's a top of the food chain player issue for me.
Agreed.
Yeah. But Andy, there's also one other quick question I want to ask. Why did the Celtics play so well then in game 5? Was that, hey, we got to win it for JT.
Yeah. The emotional bump, you fired your coach kind of bump. That we all think is going to last and then never lasts. It's why the Raiders hire Antonio Pierce and make that mistake, and all these NFL teams do. They get this little bump and they think that's reality. It's not reality. It's just emotional reaction or something like that. But I agree that this starts at the top, and you can't, if a team fails and their emotion isn't there and they're cocky, that starts at the top. And the story I would look back to is Teddy Bruschi and Tom Brady post 2004 Super Bowl. They win 2 in a row. Bruschi wanted to enjoy it, and Brady said the day they're flying back from the Super Bowl or from the Pro Bowl, in the midst of the celebratory week in February, you know, no one's ever done it 3 times, right? We got to do it 3 times. That's what you need. You don't need guys that are like, we'll see you in the Eastern Conference Finals. We're so much better than most of these teams. We shoot threes. And there is
an
air of that.
What they going to say now?
What they going to say now? Or it's so freeing when you win a title. All the pressure's off. There should be more pressure to do something special, to be Bill Russell, to do things that have not been done in 40, 50 years, to elevate yourself. You want to be respected, Jason Tatum? You want to be put on this pedestal of all-time greats like Kobe? Then do great things. Because right now you've done great-ish things, not really all-time great things.
And Missoula doesn't skate in any of this, and I understand that, but I just don't think that's not a strength of Missoula's and he also cannot go out and make the shots, and I just, that doesn't fit the bill of many coaches in the NBA. It's a star-driven league, we know that, and so that's why I have to pin it on the players.
Let's mix in a phone call. Ralph in Cranston, what were your thoughts on that loss Friday night, Ralph?
Hey, guys. First of all, taking the Knicks lightly, that would have ended after the first game. That's not why they lost this series. And, you ask why they play so good on Wednesday night, and that was totally predictable. And I've been around a long time, and I've seen this in so many sports. You have that unbelievable emotional edge. And if you play well, you can blow that other team out without your star. Now, that was it, though. An emotional edge is very fleeting. And they lost it after that. And that's why on the morning show, I said, look, the Knicks are going to win this game by 12 or more. I never thought 40, but I said at least that, because you lost that emotional edge, and now you realize a shell of himself is Porzingis, and you don't have your big gun. And that's why I figured the Knicks were so flat. They were flat emotionally. They were probably physically flat, and you expect that. Now, give the Knicks credit. The Knicks played them well. The Knicks played much better defense than the Celtics played, too, and they probably tried a little bit harder, because that's not the Celtics style. The Celtics style is to shoot threes and shoot threes. But this was a series that really, were they prepared properly? I don't know. Now, Joe Mazzulla's father was a close friend of mine, and I prayed for him. I prayed when he died. I was close to this guy, and taught me to bash Joe because he's such a good kid. And he is a kid next to me. But they could have been better prepared in so many ways, especially how to react when you're 20 points up and that team's got you down now only 5 up.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. Yeah, they could have reacted better from game to game. Within games, they didn't seem like they were prepared emotionally or schematically for what the Knicks brought to them. And still, they had a chance to win games. They had a chance to win the series. And yet, that's what leads to, I think, disappointment and regret and a long offseason. We'll continue to take your calls here in reaction to the Celtics' loss to the Knicks Friday night. We're also going to mix in a little Red Sox, because there was plenty of losing from them over the weekend. And one Dan Ball is getting more and more emotional by the tweet. I follow him on Twitter, and every time the Sox lose, he's like a disappointed parent watching his baseball team. So we'll get to the Red Sox and all their problems next here on WEEI Afternoons.